Prayers. Okay, so then I muted it. That's right. All right. Now, does everyone have one of these new and improved biopolicy books? There's a lot in here that's the same, and there's some things that are different. I'm not planning on going through the whole book, but I thought I'd go through the highlights of some of the changes or maybe some things that are important to be reminded of. But I wanted to say first, this policy manual is not a billy stick to beat somebody over the head with. Let's pick on Kathy Day, I guess. When the Lord was talking to Israel in the book of Amos, Amos wrote, "Can two walk together lest they be agreed?" And I have learned in my life that being in agreement is a good thing, and this helps us be in agreement in our relationship. I was talking with a missionary, and he was talking about his relationship with his wife, and he said, "You know, the only time we ever have any trouble is when my expectations are different than her expectations." And I think that's a key word for relationships, is expectations. You might expect something of me that I'm not expecting myself, and then you're going to be disappointed, and it's going to harm our relationship. And the same goes with bio. We want to be clear in what we expect from you all and what you all can expect from us, so there's no frustrations in our expectations. So I just want to go through this. When Brother David was talking about editing, I was surprised he didn't look over my way. He's my editor, and at times I give him stuff like this. Because he's a mean editor. But I'm thankful for him because he's a good editor, and I'm thankful for that. But he did a lot of work in editing this and getting it to look a little bit more professional and communicate a little clearer what we want to communicate. So let's just start in the very beginning of this and go to Article 1, actually Article 2, the purpose. And we're just going to hit highlights through this policy manual. And that's just to kind of underscore expectations so that we can help our relationship to remain what it should be through our time together serving the Lord. Article 2, the purpose, letter A, the purpose of bio is this: to further the gospel of Jesus Christ by assisting local churches, missionaries, and foreign nationals in carrying out the Great Commission as recorded in Matthew 28:18-20. Our ultimate goal is to perpetuate the planting of New Testament Baptist local churches around the world through local churches. And that is the heart of bio. In fact, on our brochures and our literature, our motto, our slogan is helping you fulfill the Great Commission. That's our heart. That's what we want to do. It used to say helping local churches fulfill the Great Commission, but we wanted to make it even more personal, helping you. Each person in a local church, any college student that we might meet along the way, our missionaries, anybody that we have a relationship with or a friendship with, we want to help you fulfill the Great Commission. Letter B, to provide a clearinghouse for churches to send their money in support of bio-approved missionaries, national workers, and missionary projects. Of course, that's a no-brainer. Letter C, to provide a center for training missionaries, pastors, teachers, and national workers in general and special education. And I want to say, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to work here. There are some organizations that do an excellent job in training, and it seems like they have seminars and things like that going on all the time. And I'm always thinking and praying along with Brother Terry and Brother David about how we can do better. And so we're open to suggestions, maybe some smart ideas. I used to be a little intimidated, like, wow, man, they're doing so good. How come we're not doing that? Until the Holy Spirit said, hey, they're them and you're you. Just be who you're supposed to be. But that doesn't mean we're locked into a single focus. If we can help, if we can train, if we can do something better, we want to know about it. Letter D, to prepare and provide teaching aids and curriculum and academics and other Christian literature for deaf and hearing people. And I think that just falls right in line with our slogan, along with letter E, to assist churches, other missionary organizations, and governments in establishing schools for deaf children and adults. Bio is who we are. We are who we are. And we have a unique history on how Dr. Vic was led of the Lord and Joyce to start Bio, and the relationship and the love, the compassion that we have for the deaf. That is who Bio is. And we want to continue to do that and remain who we are, at the same time being alert and being aware to changes and to special needs, to better ways to do things to carry out the gospel. The next one, Article 3, Mission Organization. We'll flip over to that. The Executive Council. And the Executive Council, number one, says, the Executive Council consists of the following: a president, a general director, a vice president, a treasurer, secretary, and then council members. The Lord is graciously allowing me to serve as president. Brother Terry is general director. Brother Barry Rumsey is the vice president. The vice president kind of serves as a special counsel if I have someone that I want to talk to about things, about Bio. In particular, I call Brother Rumsey, and we talk it out together. He's a good man. I love Brother Barry. Mark Campbell, Pastor Campbell, Pastor Mark, he's our treasurer, and that's just, he's a good man, but it's also for convenience. He's right here. And so if there's something that we need to discuss as far as the money, or if he wants to overlook something financially, he's here locally. That makes it convenient for us. He's not the treasurer. He's the secretary. Brother Pearson is the treasurer, I'm sorry. And same goes with him. He's close. And Brother Mark is the secretary. And then other council members, Doyle Ashburn, Brother Garvin Dykes, and Dr. Vic and Frank Holman are also still on the executive council, but they're really there out of respect. They cannot be at the meetings anymore. And even if they were at the meetings, they couldn't participate the way they used to. But we want to keep them there out of respect. I am looking and praying for a few more men to add to our ranks, especially as life goes on and change happens. For example, you know, Brother Dykes being in the situation that he's in, the ministry must go on. So you can pray with me about that I would, the Lord would give me ideas for godly men who are like-minded as far as our philosophy of ministry and our heart for the deaf and for getting the gospel to the world through local churches. Article 3, letter A, number 3, and then A, the president. I'll just really quickly go through what I do and my responsibilities as president. He has the authority to sign any legal or financial documents on behalf of Bio. He is recognized as the ranking officer of Bio and has authority over all other officers. He shall serve as chairman and preside over all meetings of the Executive Council. In his absence, or should he become incapable of oversight of Bio by reason of death, physical disability, immorality, doctrinal error, financial indiscretion, resignation, or retirement, the general director will serve as chairman until such a time as a new president is appointed. The vice president will serve in the event that the general director cannot. And the reason why that happens is because the general director's head's under the hood. He's here knowing what's happening from day to day, so it's easier for the general director just to slip right into that role. Letter number 4, he shall represent and promote all Bio ministries. Number 5, he shall be active in opening new fields. Number 6, he shall pursue the development of new outreach opportunities. Number 7, he shall provide an agenda for meetings of the Executive Council. Number 8, he shall be responsible for the annual Bio Conference on World Missions and Church Planting held in November, the November meeting. And number 9, he shall collaborate in preparation of the annual operating budget for Bio, working together with the general director and treasurer. Number 10, he shall be responsible for the status of any association or relationship Bio may have with any other groups, churches, missionaries, and organizations. This is completely different than what I have done for 17 years. And I have been very thankful, very blessed to be able to hide behind Brother Dykes for all these years. It's different now being in my position, and I would appreciate, I'd covet your prayers for me as I go forward tentatively, but with the Lord confidently. Brother Terry is struggling in the same way as far as his position now as general director. Many of these, it's interesting, as BIO grew, we grew from kind of a mom and pop type organization. But as we grew, I kind of created my own position as far as general director, as far as what responsibilities I would have. And so many of these things are tailored to what I was good at and what needed to be done. But as time progressed, it became what the general director does. And this is what Brother Terry now is merging into as far as his responsibilities. He shall be responsible for the expansion of current and new BIO ministries worldwide. He shall have authority to employ and dismiss all home office personnel in council with the president. He shall be responsible for the daily supervision of the home office operations. He shall give an accounting of all personnel changes to the executive council. He shall be responsible for the recruitment and training of new missionaries. He shall have oversight of all missionary personnel. He shall have authority to organize and submit to the Executive Council and the Advisory Council the following annual reports: the opening of new mission fields, the approval of new missionaries, the status of all missionaries, the recommendation of new missionaries and projects, the financial statements and budgets together with the treasurer under the direction of the president. Letter 8, he shall be responsible for the annual BIO training school in consultation with the president. Number 9, he shall directly supervise all assistant directors. So that's Brother Terry's new job. And it's he's doing very good at what he's doing. It's different from what he's doing. It's different from many of the gifts and callings that God has given him in the past. But God is adding to him and stretching him just like he is me. And Brother Terry's doing a wonderful job. I love Excel. I love doing budgets and spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. Brother Terry does not. But it's been good to work together with him, and I thank the Lord for him and his ministry here. The next letter C is assistant director, and that would be what Brother Peach falls into as far as the offices here at BIO, the director's offices. Number 1, it says, he shall assist the general director in operations of the mission. He shall be assigned duties and titles as the general director deems necessary and as the needs of the mission and missionaries require. He will be appointed by the executive council. Brother David, of course, has the title and the job responsibility of being the director of deaf ministries. And of course, because of his gifts and his abilities, he also has acquired the internet and the servers and all everything computer and an editor and a myriad of other things that he does. And I really do appreciate his ministry and his servant's heart to help. He's a blessing to have on our team. But that's where Brother David falls in our structure as an assistant to Brother Terry. Number 2, it says they're under assistant. Should the need arise, the general director may have more than one assistant director. In this event, the general director will assign the duties and responsibilities of each. One of the last things I did as general director before becoming president was I asked the executive council if we could increase a couple more assistant directors. And one would be Latin American director and the other would be an Asian director. And they're both, Dominic Tascarella is working into becoming an Asian director to help, as BIO grows and we have more missionaries and more opportunities, to help those missionaries almost as a field director to be able to be available to those missionaries as they have need. Brother Dominic Tascarella has been in China for almost 20 years, and he's a great man of God, and I love him a lot. He's a good friend. He's the Asian director. And then Brother Jeff Price is a wonderfully talented and gifted man, very strong personality, but a very good and godly man. He's in Bolivia right now and has been in Bolivia in the past. And Brother Jeff is also really good at recruiting and representing BIO. So I know that's his heart to be able to do more of that in the future. But that is kind of the structure of where we are here in the office. If you want to, you can read on about the other, job requirements for some of the other officers and things like that. But those are the things that I wanted to cover so that you understood how we work here in the office better. Any questions or any comments so far?
No question.
All right. Let's then go several pages away to page number 15. And I believe it's Article 5, and it's letter J. And I just wanted to mention this kind of out of context from where it was written. But it says, applicants and missionaries must agree to attend and participate in all bio training schools and the bio conference on world missions and church planning while they're in the States. Thank you guys for being here this week. I know it was an effort coming from Ohio with all your kids and two flat tires and everything else. And Brother Joel driving all the way from Miami with no air conditioning. And Brother Chris and Lucinda, I know you have plenty on your agenda to accomplish while you're in the States. We really appreciate that you're here and that you made it important in your life to be here while you're here in the States. The other thing besides the training school is the November meeting. That's what that big long title is. It's kind of evolved. Remember in the early days we had a March meeting and we had a November meeting. Well, the March meeting was always full of energy and then it started to decline. It was always regional. We would go to Michigan or we'd go to Kentucky or wherever for that meeting. But it started to become harder and harder. And the executive council would agonize over how to make it a better meeting, how to get more men involved. And we'd try many different things. And it just seemed to peter out. And finally, the question was, why do we do this? So eventually, the March meeting kind of went away. And we stuck with the November meeting. That was the meeting that was going to be Biles meeting, and it still is. But over the course of time, even that meeting, preachers do things differently nowadays. Their schedules are different. Our times are different. And rather than try to always keep tradition, you know, we had the banquet and we had all these things that were tradition, we stopped and we tried to think, what are we trying to accomplish? And is this meeting the need of what we're trying to accomplish as bio? And so we still are having the November meeting, even though it has declined as well, and it was harder to get pastors to come for the meeting. We decided to kind of merge the November idea with the March idea. And I'm not too sure even that the November meeting will always stay in November. But the idea of the November meeting now is there will be no banquet, and it'll be a night and a day, kind of like those meetings. What do you call those meetings? Breakouts, with the breakout sessions, having a meeting like a breakout session. So there's a big meeting in the evening on Wednesday night at a church, and then the next day have breakout sessions. And the idea is to get pastors involved and to let them know about bio, but also to give them some substantive things from quality people that could help them with the Great Commission, with missions, with their vision and their goals as far as reaching the world for Christ. And the last year we did it here because it was the first one. It was kind of like a test program, but it was really good. It wasn't that well attended, but the content was excellent. And everyone that came left saying, man, I wish there was more. And that's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for, man, this is long. Man, I'm tired. Man, let's go. Hey, we're going to miss that session. We're going to go shopping. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for exactly what I heard, and that was, wow, I could listen to him all day. Wow, I like that guy. I was looking for that. And this year, the meeting's going to be in Atlanta at Brother Tommy Amen's church at Rock Springs Baptist Church. They're going through a transition. They're trying to sell their building and buy a new building. But Dr. Keene is going to be our keynote speaker. And then Brother Travis from Vision Baptist, Brother Trent Cornwell is going to be another speaker. I have another speaker that I haven't confirmed with yet. But there's going to be three key speakers. Dr. Keene will speak several times throughout that time, but it's going to be the same format. In the evening, we'll have Dr. Keene speak, and then the next day, we'll have breakout sessions, but it'll be combined with the several speakers. So it's a work in progress, an evolution of sorts, but we're not abandoning it, but we're trying to adjust to meet the need where we're at as far as churches go here, independent Baptist churches in the United States. So I wanted to bring that to your attention too, and also just, if you're here, remind you, it's November 14th and 15th, so I hope you can be able to make it if you're here. I know you guys are going back in September, but maybe we can get some of them online or some of the messages online. But that is happening in November at Brother Tommy Amen's church. The next place we can go is on page 17. Page 17, article number 8. And I think this is good for us to go over to kind of just give clarity as to who bio is. And, you know, we're not here to argue with anyone else's missionary philosophy. We had a missionary come to our home church at Faith this last Sunday. I preached in his church in the Philippines probably 10 years ago. Brother Resty Ocampo, he's a good man. He's a national from the Philippines, and he has a local church that he pastors, and then out of his church he's trying to start missions around the general area. That might not be my missionary philosophy. That might not be Bio's missionary philosophy, but it doesn't matter. We're both on the same team. We're both trying to serve the Lord. But by that being said, Bio does have a mission philosophy, a missionary philosophy, a way that we believe is best for missionaries to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. That doesn't mean that we aren't interested in helping those that might operate or think differently than we do, because we want to help you fulfill the Great Commission, and God might lead you differently than He has us. But as an organization, we have a way that we believe is right and best, and we want to follow that way and encourage missionaries to operate that way. But one of the biggest questions out there about missions is about nationals. What to do with nationals? And I've talked to a lot of pastors over the years who have called and wanted to know our philosophy in regards to nationals. So I wanted you to understand our philosophy and how we handle helping nationals. The big deal, of course, is the indigenous church principle. We don't want to undermine any indigenous church by sending American money over to prop up and support a national or a national work that will never become truly indigenous. I don't believe that's right, and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that helps the work of God. You end up, and I'm not trying to be politically incorrect, but really what you end up with is a mission that's almost like a Down syndrome child. You know, they're who they are, but they don't produce fruit. They can't stand on their own, and the work of God is not furthered. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be crude, but I'm trying to use that as an illustration so you understand what I'm saying. We want to encourage indigenous churches. We believe that the Holy Spirit can use a man that's a national in any country, no matter how much money he has, through his power, to see churches planted exponentially. American dollars is not needed. American dollars is nice, and sometimes God calls upon Americans to be involved to help in that regard, but God is not limited to work with only Americans. And over the years, our philosophy has changed a little bit. When Bio first started, Dr. Vic helped a lot of nationals. And we still have some of those nationals that are a part of our missionary family. There are several in Ethiopia. But we have categorized three areas as far as men and women who work with Bio. And on page 18, letter E, it's defined for us. It says, there shall be three special categories for foreign nationals working with Bio. Number one is missionaries. Foreign nationals who are members of a church in the United States are considered missionaries with the same status as American missionaries and are therefore accountable to their sending church. We have a few missionaries who are members of a church here, and they're no different in their relationship with us than you are. They have a pastor, and if there's any situation, the pastor's involved with their ministry, the pastor's involved with them personally, just like a missionary here. Even though they might not even have an American citizenship, they're missionaries sent out of that church. And many times when we have, a lot of them are from the Philippines, call and they want to make application to Bio, that is where we are at now. One of the first questions I ask them is, do you have a pastor here in the United States? And that's because that's our heart. That's where we want to go. We want to support nationals, but we want them to have a church and be embraced here in the States by a church and be sent out from a church here. And we have several that are national missionaries that are. And that's our heart, that's where we lean to, but there are exceptions. And the reason why there are exceptions is, number one, because of the grandfather, because of who we had at the beginning, but also, number two, we don't want to limit the Holy Spirit. There might be an exceptional case where the Holy Spirit really impresses upon our heart that, hey, this man needs to be helped, and we can get behind him and help him. And I don't want to seal the box and say, no, Holy Spirit, we can't do that, because that's not Bible's philosophy, if you understand what I'm saying. And that would be the next couple here. Number two, a missionary co-laborer. Foreign nationals who are not members of a church in the United States are considered missionary co-laborers and are accountable to the general director. The missionary co-laborer status is very rare and only allowed in special circumstances with men and women of proven loyalty, character, and integrity. So I'm just trying to tell you who we are and our philosophy, not taking anything away from any other organization that does things differently. That's who we are. And number three, national workers. Foreign nationals who have been approved by the Executive Council to work with an approved missionary or missionary co-laborer are considered national workers and are accountable to those with whom they are laboring. National workers will not be allowed into the United States to raise funds unless they have been recommended by the president or a director and they have been approved by the Executive Council. We have a few that are like this. And for example, there are two men that worked very closely with Travis Dykes in Botswana. And Travis Dykes trained them, and they're pastoring churches and doing evangelical work. When the Lord called him to leave, those works still needed to go forward, and those works were unsustainable at that point, and some still are, for the churches to support them fully. And so without help, then those works would have just disappeared. And so we help those national workers in Botswana, but they are accountable to Brother Travis Dykes. And Brother Travis Dykes then is accountable to Brother Terry, so we know how that money's being used and that they're staying true to what they've promised us as far as our relationship goes. So that's our philosophy basically for nationals. We want to work with nationals. We want to encourage them and strengthen them. We don't want to undermine the indigenous principle. We don't want to just send boatloads of money overseas and say we have 52 national missionaries in this country. When I went and spent some time with Brother Terry in Kenya before he came here to the office, we drove by the post office, and Brother Terry said, "See that over there?" I said, "Yes." He said, "There's a lot of pastors that pastor that building right there." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That's the post office." He said, "Once a month they all go down there and pastor the support check that comes into their box from the United States." They had no church, they just collected money, and people here in the States felt really good because they're sending money overseas to help the Kenyans plant churches. That's what we're trying to stay away from, and that's why our philosophy is what it is. We love nationals, we want to help them, and if God is in it, then there's a way that we want to help them, and this is how it's described here in the policy manual. I hope that makes sense. Does anybody have any questions or comments about that? All right, good. Let's flip over to page number 19. The next article is deputation, and then I just want to look at letter E and just touch on this. There's only one missionary here, Brother Joel, on deputation, but this tool that I want to talk about can be used by you as well. On our website, on the missionary website, the secure site, there is a document called the Missionary Deputation Review Form. If you use that review form, it's a form that you print out and you give to a pastor with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and they can write about the meeting they had with you, and there's questions in there that lead him to supporting you, or at least giving you his mind regarding you. Some of these deputation review forms, when we get back, I can read them and I can say, hey, Brother Joel, this guy right here that you visited, remember last month, he wants to support you. He said he wants to support you for $50 a month, and that helps us help you. Also, occasionally there's missionaries that might have a few hiccups in their personal life. If something like that happens and a pastor writes about it, I can see that. Brother Terry can see that privately. If it happens one time, I'm not going to probably say anything, but if several pastors write back and say, you know, this guy preaches with his shirt untucked every time, you know, that might warrant a phone call from, like, Brother Terry and say, hey, brother, I need to talk to you about something. You know what I'm saying? So this deputation review form helps us help you. And we're not, like, strong-arming anybody to use it. I think I would be a little bit more adamant if there were a young man on deputation with BIOS, fresh out of college, without any ministry experience. I think I would want Brother Terry to make that more of a mandate. But with older men, Brother Joel, more mature, more experienced, we're not trying to manipulate or micromanage or anything like that. So I just wanted to mention that to tell you that that's there, even for you on furlough, as a tool to use. Yes?
Somewhere I have run into something like this, and I've never thought it was a good idea because, you know, if you can get feedback from a pastor,
yes.
Maybe your presentation is just too long.
Right.
And the pastor's like, man, this guy's presentation went on and on and on. It's nice that a pastor can write that,
yes,
without having to confront you directly and send it to the mission,
yes,
board. And then the mission board will be like, hey, you probably should put your, you know, we've had several pastors mention this.
Right.
You want to put down your time of your video or something. You know, just simple things like that that will help you.
That's the heart of it. That's, yeah, the heart behind it.
And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's the heart behind it, and that's what we want to do. But once again, we're not trying to micromanage. We're not trying to be that kind of place. That's not who we are. Brother David, I said, has done a lot of hard work on this, and this is always going to be a work in progress. But when I was going through this for things that I wanted to mention, I saw something that we need to scrap out of here. On page 20, the medical, when it talks about missionary support, the medical thing can be taken off. There, we don't allow medical for deductions anymore. Page 22, underneath article number 11, look at letter F and letter G with me. Now, I know we just said it this week, but I just want to say it one more time while I'm up here. Letter F talks about the quarterly report. It says, at the very least, a quarterly prayer letter must be sent to all of our missionary supporters. The missionaries should ensure that one prayer letter gets sent to the bio office. Only one copy to the office is necessary. And if you need that address, it's office@biomissions.org. Only one copy to the office is necessary. All office personnel will receive a copy and the original will be filed. This prayer letter should be dated and include the missionary sending church information and the bio logo and address. Any questions about that? Quarterly at best. I mean, at the worst, yeah. And I do it quarterly because sometimes it's just hard to find something to write about, you know. I talked on the telephone to three missionaries for 4 hours and 17 minutes. So I have to get creative with my prayer letters sometimes. letter G, then, of course, we already discussed this, but I just wanted to mention it again. A quarterly financial report must be sent quarterly to the financial secretary. The last quarter's report should be in the bio office no later than January 15th of the following January. I think we extended that to the 20th, too. I believe that's the 20th. So that could be updated as well. Page 22. And then letter H, you can scratch that too. It says a yearly work report must be filled out and sent in. I haven't required that in I don't know how long. Prayer letters are good enough for me, and the way we communicate on Facebook and things like that, I'm not going to make somebody fill out a whole year's worth of reporting for a year-end work report. So letter H can be scrapped too. All right, if we can go then to page number 23, article 13. Branding. This is a new article that Brother Peach kind of pulled together from other things that were in there, hodgepodge. So I'll just go through these real quick. Letter A. No use of BIO's name or logo or other BIO-approved names will be allowed without permission from the president via the general director. Letter B. No registrations of any NGO in the name of BIO will be allowed without written approval from the Executive Council. All official papers for registration, etc., should be forwarded to the General Director or held by the person appointed by the Executive Council. And letter C, The bio, logo, name, and office address will be used on all missionary prayer letters and prayer cards. So that's just a little bit on branding there. And that's for two reasons, to protect bio from any kind of perhaps nefarious lawsuit. We have one organization in the Philippines that is called Bio, and that's they haven't done anything wrong. They're a great bunch of guys, but that's kind of what precipitated this being put in the policy manual. It's just to protect us. And every country is different, and things happen, and we've been sued before, and we're just trying to protect Bio and then protect the missionaries on top of that. So, and then of course we want you not to be ashamed of us, but to put you on your publication, your prayer letters, your prayer cards or whatnot, just because we want people to know about us so that maybe God might use you or your letter to say, hey, there's an opportunity for me to be a missionary, or maybe Bio can help me do something. We want to be used by the Lord, and by you advertising for us, it helps us to be able to be used by the Lord in that regard. All right, I have another one that I'm going to flip over to, and that is on page number 25. And this is the last one that I'm going to cover. Does anyone have any questions so far over anything I've said? No? No questions? All right. And this is the last article. This one's kind of sobering. I hated to end on this one, but especially with Wally just being kidnapped. But we do live in crazy times, and it happens. Happens to good people. So I wanted, this was new. Probably none of you in here have read this except for Joel, because he just read the policy not too long ago, and Lottie. Article number 15, it says, letter A, should the unfortunate circumstance of a kidnapping ever happen to one of our missionaries, their family members, or one of their national workers, Bio will never pay any ransom. Paying ransom would only endanger the lives of all of our missionaries around the world. I know that sounds heartless and cruel, but there's a reason behind that. Letter B, all Bio missionaries should realize that they are soldiers of the cross whose commander is the sovereign God, and that sometimes for reasons unknown at this time, it is God's will to sacrifice one of His choicest servants. And then letter C, in the case of such an event, Bio will do everything in its power, spiritually, ethically, and legally, to procure the release of any hostages and to protect those remaining in peril. Nevertheless, paying ransom shall never be considered. So I just wanted, that's new, I just wanted to put that out there too. Yes. Yeah. And I hope it never happens, but obviously it just did to one of our missionaries. Praise the Lord that God protected him and he's safe. And he might end up getting more support out of it. That's a tough way to get support. I was messaging a pastor who knows this missionary last night till about 11 o'clock, and this pastor might end up taking him on for support and helping him out financially through this whole thing. So the Lord can use it, but I hope the Lord doesn't get me support by getting me knocked in the head. There's going to be another better way to get more support than that. Anyway, there's also something else that was added. I don't need to read it to you, but CLA counseled us to add something about sexual orientation in here. So I put that in here as well for the statement of faith in the very last page, page number 31. But I think that's the highlights of what I wanted to cover in the policy manual. And yes.
My wife is American. Sometimes, like, with some children, the daughter leaves them born in the field, and you want, you know, the citizenship, like, you know, if my wife is a children, whatever, but Haiti, like, children still American, that's an important system. But sometimes you want some organization, like, a center later, or to know if that would, or my wife, like, the United also doing.
Yeah, we do that frequently, mostly for visas to come to the United States, but we do verify who you are, who you work with. We do that a lot. Yes, sir. That's a good question.
The missionary review form is also available so pastors can fill it out online if they want to do that. So you can download them, print them out, give them a hard copy, or you can go to biomission.org/review and they can fill it out on the website.
Yes, sir.
I have a question just on one of the other speakers. There was a thing called Legal Shield.
I marked that down in my notes. Legal Shield is, what's that other company you hear online all the time? It's an identity theft protection. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the big one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what are they called?
Anyway, it's an identity theft protection, but it's more than that. I mean, you log in your passport, your driver's license, your credit cards, everything, and they monitor it for you. And then there's also another part of it that's the legal side of it, where you have a lawyer at your ready to serve you up to so many, thousands of dollars. I'll give you some information to look at that. I would encourage you to look into that and be a part of that. We can set that up to where that's paid for right out of your support here. But
it's a little cheaper if you set it up through the office. It's just a couple of dollars a month cheaper, but if you set it up through the office, it saves you a couple of dollars a month.
That was Mrs. Peach on your, you had that on that spreadsheet.
Yeah.
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 LifeLock is the other one.
Yeah. And a side-by-side comparison, the LifeLock and Legal Shield has way more bells and whistles in that way. I think they both use the same company that does the investigative work. But Legal Shield will monitor. I mean, I'll get a report every month saying there have been nothing targeted in your name. And you can put your spouse's information, your children. You can put all those, their social security numbers, everything in there, and they monitor it all the time. So if anything out there happens for identity theft, you're alerted immediately. Hey, this has taken place. And then you can get the legal side of it to take place to help you rectify it. There's been several cases to where somebody has, they've lost all identity or they've been charged with a crime they didn't do, and the legal side has jumped in and restored their name and restored their finances completely. So it's, with international travel and ministry the way we do, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer. Yes, sir?
Several years ago, prior to identity theft, I had my bank card. I was back in Peru, and my bank actually told me and said, hey, somebody just used your card to make a purchase in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And somebody had gotten my card information and tried to use it. They were kind of ignorant because I'm a missionary, and they used it at the end of the month. There was no money in my account. It was denied. But I mean, because we travel all over, it's just amazing how quick. And I shut it down immediately, so there was really no damage, but it could have been very easily.
And also, they'll do wills for free. If you have a contract that you're not sure you want to sign, you can send it to them, and they'll read it for you and say, ask about this. It looks good. It's a lawyer at your ready. For a fairly cheap price every month. I have the all the bells and whistles. I think another layer on top of that. It's like $49 for me a month. But theirs is like 16. He just has the basic identity theft protection. Oh, you have the legal side. Okay. Yes, sir.
If I stop a walk in Haiti and then something happens, I go home, something I have it. So the vow will be accepted. If my wife wants to continue as a missionary in Haiti or support the work I do, so the book, I'm not saying be a pastor, okay? If vow will be still accept my wife as a missionary.
Absolutely. She is a missionary in full standing, equal to you. In fact, probably a little bit better than you. We have a missionary wife today with us. Her ministry has changed, but Brother Steve Richards passed away in Zambia, and Brother Dykes and Brother Vic flew over there to help her. But she's still a missionary with us. Her ministry is different, but as a single lady, She still ministers in Zambia.
That's a question I would have. You know, as some of us on the field get older, you don't know when something would happen. Is there any, like you did with Ms. Richards, I'm thinking like my wife, well, if something happens to me, obviously she can't have any of that.
Right.
Would there be any help from this side saying, hey, we need to go over there and help this somebody else?
Absolutely. We have an emergency fund set up for that and growing, so that if an emergency like that happened, we would be ready to do it instantly to go over and help her. And also, you know, to communicate to the churches, to rally them behind, to help. That's one of the things that we would definitely do in a case like that. We're on your team. You know, we can't control everything, but if it's possible, we'll do it. Anything else? That says I got 3 minutes left. The picnic is at, Brother Terry was going to come down and give directions. Yes. The picnic was at the pavilion. The weather doesn't look too inviting, but it is a pavilion. So if we can get there underneath and get the food cooked, we can still have a good time. But it's probably about 15 minutes from here, 20 minutes from here. It's you can see the lake, but it's not on the lake. Yeah, that's it. Yes, at Faith, when they took the missionaries up there, that's where we're going. Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. It's not hard to get, but he's going to get you a map. But we'll start the picnic at 5 o'clock, so if we stop now, it gives you 2 hours to change or whatever to get over there. Maybe get a nap. And of course, I just want to say one more thing. We all have open doors. If there's anything that you want to communicate to us, you know, call, email, text. We're ready to help or answer a question that you might have regarding anything. So, yes, ma'am?
I just want to say, we've been to several of the training schools, and every time it's a blessing. I know, like, the financial and the policies, and it can get repetitive, but it's always a blessing to come to the family. And I really encourage all the Bible students.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm sad that this time
pray for more missionaries too. It seems like it's getting harder and harder to get young people to surrender for the mission field, or anyone for that matter. So.